This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Happy Wednesday, everybody listening. Midweek throughout the world of sports, and you're right here on WKAR Sports Talk 870. I am Alex Shaw, just a young cat coming in, sitting in the chair of legendary broadcaster Earl Robinson. Earl Robinson, for those of you who did not catch it, last show, yesterday's show, Monday's show, and even last Friday, Earl has graduated, not retired, but graduated from WKAR after 39 years. And let me tell you, that's the longest graduate I think I've ever heard of. I think Aaron behind the glass there can agree. But Earl, a legendary icon around mid-Michigan and even nationally, has had very high-profile interviews from the likes of Miles Davis to Gladys Knight and sports guys like Magic Johnson and even Tyrone Willingham out of Washington. Coach Tom Izzo, always with the nicest things to say about Earl Robinson 2 days ago at Monday's press conference. Tom Izzo granted Earl a lifelong parking pass and lifelong tickets as long as he is there. So obviously, Earl, if I was you, I would just so jealous of you, Earl, if you're listening back home. For those of you who did not catch it, Earl began his sports talk career in 1984. His first show, that was April 1st. Earl, throughout his career, even before then, hosted a show called Taking Care of Business. It was his jazz specialty show. He interviewed Miles Davis and Gladys Knight. He also, in 2004, was inducted into the Greater Lansing Hall of Fame. So a very historic figure going out in the right way. Only one Earl Robinson, like we all said. Again, I'm Alex Sharg. You could catch me, besides for this show on WKAR. I also host my own show on WDBM East Lansing, the Spartan Sports Wrap, solely Michigan State Sports First. Then you get a little bit of Detroit and National. I also work on the Spartan Sports Network. And this summer, I'm interning at ESPN Radio Detroit, the brand new operation. But like I said, I am extremely humbled and honored to be not only a mentored one by Earl Robinson, but also to be sitting in the same chair that he sat in for 39 years. So for those of you who did not get a chance to call in on Monday, we want to open up the lines like we did yesterday to commence Earl's graduation, to get your last thoughts about Earl Robinson, give him a couple messages, some funny stories about Earl. We had Rob yesterday, one of the old producers that used to be here from 2004 on. Rob had some very, very funny tidbits about Earl. Any of you out there listening have been impacted by Earl in any way, give us a call, 355-9527. You could also call toll-free, 877-952-7870. The email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. We also, on today's show, are giving away some more tickets. We gave away two pairs of tickets yesterday to the Illinois game. There's another game coming up next Monday that's against Minnesota. We're going to give away those tickets, two pairs of those as well. We're going to start taking some calls today. We are going to announce the winner on Monday. The game actually against Minnesota is February 6th. So you've got a little bit of time to call in, almost towards signing day time, but you do have some time to pick up the phone and call 517-884-4783. Again, the number 517-884-4783. If you would like to win some pairs of tickets to the Minnesota game, that is the number, as usual, for the ticket giveaway. And again, 355-9527. We want to hear some Earl Robinson recaps for those of you who have known Earl over the years. We want to hear it from you. We want to hear how Earl has impacted you, just like he's impacted us and the rest of the WKAR family. Just before we get to some of those calls, we want to play some more clips of some of Earl's colleagues and good friends on some of the really good things that they had to say about Earl. We'll start it off right here with Hondo Carpenter from Spartan Nation.
Thing is he was always so positive. I think that was one of the things that if you didn't know Earl Robinson, it took you about 30 seconds to realize he's one of the most positive people. He's a great guy, terrific Spartan, and, you know, he's one of those guys that'd be iconic. You know, there'll be other guys that'll do it, but no one will be Earl. He's been a great addition to the community. I'm proud to call him a friend, and he's been great, I know, for WKR, but for everybody.
That's an icon indeed, Hondo. 30 seconds after knowing the guy, Hondo says that he just knew that he was going to be your friend. That's just one of a kind of guy. Also, we have another clip from Matt Charbonneau. We're going to play that right now.
My last words for Earl have to be relax and have some fun and get away from all of us because we're not that pleasant to be around. I kid. We have a lot of fun, but Earl's one of the best guys in the group. I mean, honestly, you'd never see Earl feeling down or in a bad mood, or if he is, you certainly don't know about it. I mean, he's such an upbeat guy, really loves being around here, and he just, you know, that attitude kind of permeates to everybody, and I wish Earl the best. Great guy, one of the best guys to have around. I hope he still comes around and sees us because he's certainly a highlight to the group of people we have here. So best of luck, Earl.
Definitely a highlight kind of remark from Matt Charbonneau. Aaron, let's get you on over the glass there. Talk about maybe some of the things that, you know, that Hondo said. 30 seconds, and the guy is your friend. You know him just as well as some of these guys. Did you get that sense of feeling when you first met Earl?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I could put a 30-second timestamp on it, but, it just seemed, I don't know what it is. I think I was kind of explaining it to the listeners yesterday. It's just, you know, there's sort of a mentality with him, sort of an exuberance that just somehow, like, there's this, I can't think of a word that somehow just gets inside your body. And you're like, oh, I'm friends with Earl suddenly, you know, in a very short amount of time. So, I would agree with Hondo on that. Earl is easy to talk to. He's easy to get along with. He's always got a smile on his face. He likes to joke around. I mean, you know, he's positive. I mean, so all that put together, I think that's kind of why, you know, you sort of, I guess, sort of just become friends with him almost instantly, especially if you're a sports person. I mean, well, there you go. There's your icebreaker because he pretty much knows everything about sports. I think it's so easy to talk to him. And so I think that's what Hondo was referring to.
Absolutely. Now, for those of you who are just tuning in, we are recapping Earl's career this week. Only going to spend about another 7 or 8 minutes today. So you definitely want to pick up the phone, get those calls in, 355-9527, toll free, 877-9527-870. Would you like to go on the air, talk about Earl? He's listening back home. He'd love to hear from you. So give us a call. Talk Earl with us, not sports, but talk Earl with us right here on AM 870. Coming up later in today's show, we're talking some Detroit Red Wings shooting past the Stars last night 4-1. Jordan 2-2 rocking the crowd over there out west. He got in a couple tussles, and we'll get to that, whether we think that that's a good thing, if that's a bad thing, that McCarty-esque kind of grinding. We love it. So we'll get to that a little bit more later in the show. We're also talking the PED leaks about performance-enhancing drugs, who's on what. We're also going to talk about some Michigan State recruiting, who the new commitments are, University of Michigan signing Derek Green, a very high-profile guy. So we'll get to that, and also the Pistons to cap off the show within the last 40 minutes or so. But we do have some calls. We're going to get to them. We've got Brenda. Brenda, how are you doing today? Where are you calling from? Tell us a little bit about Earl Robinson.
Well, I'm calling from Mount Pleasant, Michigan. And I'm not even a big sports fan, but I'm an NPR radio fan. Mm-hmm. And I would go through and be listening to the station, and Earl would come on, and for the first couple times, I would just go to a different station. But his voice always caught you, and then he had a sense of humor, and he knew what he was talking about, and he cared.
Yeah.
So I've been a fan for a few years just on that basis.
Brenda, appreciate your call. That's definitely a great way to put it, because as someone like you, Brenda, who isn't much of a sports, you know, you're more of an NPR listener, But right. if you're browsing through, you know, through all the dials and you're coming across Earl's show, for someone who doesn't listen to sports, I mean, what was it about Earl's voice that just kept you listening?
There's a sincerity in it. You know, he's always seemed sincere in what he was saying. And just the sound of his voice, it just was, you know, it just kind of caught you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Now, any interviews that you've heard, Brenda, any of his topics that really stuck with you, maybe with injuries, maybe with something that you can relate to outside of the sports setting?
I think, no, that he just, you know, he was always bringing up local sports, you know, seemed to really be involved in that and encourage that kind of thing. And just his general knowledge.
Absolutely, Brenda. We appreciate your call. Any last words for Earl?
Just good luck to him.
Thank you so much, Brenda. We appreciate your call at WKAR and hope to talk to you soon, Brenda.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Aaron. So that's pretty astonishing to hear someone like that talk about Earl. And the other thing that we haven't really touched on yet, even yesterday, is just, you know, the fact that this mid-Michigan guy can have that credit, you know, that, you know, he's got that vibe that he can vote in a Heisman race. I mean, that's something that's very selective. And obviously, you know, if it wasn't for the people he knows, I think the path to getting there would have been a little bit more of a steep road. But, you know, that's one thing that really stuck with me as well. And I'm sure for you, Aaron, the fact that this guy votes in national polls, the Harris poll. I mean, for national, the NCAA, for journalists out there to know, Earl Robinson's opinion really does matter. Just his knowledge, the fact that he is that human encyclopedia of sports with books on his shelf, schedules in his brain intact, that is just incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe you know. Do you know the path to get to HIU? I'm sure you got to go through some secret security, high security process just to get to vote for the Heisman. You know how that works?
Yeah. I mean, what I do know is Jack Ebling, one of Earl's very good friends, recommended Earl, you know, to get him into that Heisman race. So, again, just who you know is what gets you in the door.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing. I mean, I don't know. I forget how many. I'm sure there's a number, and I forget it off the top of my head how many people actually vote. But, to have someone sort of have a great friend recommend you, and then, the committee, I'm sure, said, yeah, sure, well, we'll put you on. You can vote. That means something. So I don't know how long he's been able to vote. But just the fact that he's able to vote is pretty commendable on its own.
Yeah, and I remember sitting here at WKAR, and there used to be shipments on shipments coming into Earl's office from the highs from certain teams across the country. For example, if Monty Teo was in the Heisman race, like he was, Notre Dame would send Earl a little bobblehead of Teo. You know, some of that advertising to vote for Teo. You know, they're kind of trying to do what they can to get a couple votes, because, as you know, that's more revenue for their school as well. And we are gonna get to revenue after we take this break. And when I say revenue, I'm talking about athletes getting paid. This is breaking news out of today. I'm talking about athletes getting money from television. We'll get to all that and more on Sports Talk AM 870.
John Kerry's move to the State Department leaves a Senate seat to be filled temporarily right now. Then in a special election come June, Saxby Chambliss and Tom Harkin will leave two more for November 2014. Ray LaHood's departure opens another cabinet job at the Department of Transportation. And Sarah Palin exits Fox News. I'm Neil Conan. Political junkie Ken Rudin returns next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Ken Rudin returns. That's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 p.m. right here on AM 870.
Thanks for joining us. I'm Scott Pohl. Rain turning to snow today. Temperatures dropping until the overnight low is 16. Blustery and mostly cloudy, and maybe some snow overnight. Tomorrow, a high of just 22. Mostly cloudy and windy with a chance of snow. Mostly cloudy with scattered snow and a high of 19 Friday.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. The line, 517-355-9527. You could also call toll-free 877-9527-870. Once again, we just finished recapping Earl's career. If you want to get a call in real quickly, talk a little bit more about Earl, we can take your call, but we are about to move on to NCAA athletes pursuing TV money. Now, Aaron, we'll get right into that right now. According to ESPN today, there was a motion by the NCAA to prevent football and men's basketball players from pursuing a cut of live broadcast revenues. But on Tuesday, yesterday, a federal court judge raised the stakes as it defended its economic model. Basically, what happened is the judge is now moving forward with the case, and as long as everything passes, the initial decision was granted in the courts, but now it is looking that athletes will have some share of that revenue of broadcasting. Now, Aaron, this is specifically speaking about athletes getting money. Now, that's besides the scholarships. That takes out some of the money that, you know, that they could get even just by, you know, coaches paying them a little bit of extra money. We saw with Jim Tressel. Jim Tressel just couldn't handle giving some of those leeway options to athletes. And 10 years from now, if athletes do eventually get paid, people will look back on Jim Tressel and say, hey, he really wasn't that bad. I mean, if he's giving these things to Maurice Claret, if he's giving some of these things to Terrell Pryor, but now we amend the rule for it, it's not that bad. Do you agree with me listening? 355-9527. We're talking right now that NCAA athletes can legally pursue TV money. And Aaron, we'll hear from you. I mean, this just opens up the floodgates, because if NCAA athletes can get money from broadcasts, then who can't get money from broadcasts? Can high school athletes that get broadcast on Fox Sports Detroit get a little bit of revenue from their high school championship games? How about even the coaches? How about some of the management staff on each team? Where is the fine line, Aaron?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great point. I mean, I don't know where the fine line is going to be drawn. I mean, I don't, assuming that all this pans out and everything, this hypothetical, you know, I don't know where the line would be drawn. Obviously, once you start dealing with kids under 18, that becomes a problem. But, you know, again, this topic has been brought up before as far as whether or not athletes should be paid. But this is sort of we're paying you straight away just for the sport. This is we're paying you because we're rebroadcasting something that you did great in some game. And, you know, we want to rebroadcast this game. So, I don't know where you draw the line. I mean, if you start paying for rebroadcast and you start playing the players, paying the players, coaches, whoever, I mean, I don't know how much of a cut they would get. But what about the people that put the actual program together, the production crew, all those people? Do they get a cut? I mean, I don't know where you draw the line, and I don't know how you define, is this for Division I? Is this go Division II, Division III? What if there's some Division III game that is just one of the best games of all time for whatever reason, and it gets picked up by, you know, some big channel, Big Ten network wants to pick it up,
right.
And then that gets rebrought, you know, I mean, we could go on forever. Where do you stop? Where do you start?
Yeah, and even going on forever, but it's another thing to note as well that this is just a topic that has been in conversation forever. There's always talks about athletes getting additional money for all the training. There's talks of, even when Earl was here, he used to mention that, what if you had to major in sports rather than having that commitment to an NCAA Division I team and pursuing an additional major in business or law? You know, that's a lot for an athlete to handle. And even Earl would sit here and propose the motion that, hey, these athletes are already dedicating so much time to their sport, you might as well make it their major, because when they get out of here and what their goals are by playing on that Division I team, they eventually want to make it to the pros. I mean, I believe, Aaron, that is the main goal for some of these guys. And even more so, I want to read a quote right now from Michael Hossfeld, who is the interim lead counsel for the plaintiffs. He said this, quote, "Now the NCAA and its co-defendants are facing potential liability in the billions of dollars instead of just tens or hundreds of millions. It's a more accurate context for what the players deserve." So what he's saying is, liability in billions of dollars compared to tens or hundreds of millions. So basically, with getting more TV money, they're going to be more liable for billions of dollars. They're going to be reliable for screwing up broadcasts. Now, he's saying that players, college players, deserve to be in the hands of billions of dollars. Do you agree with that statement from, you know, the plaintiff? Obviously, he's doing his job. And if you are listening out there, 355-9527, toll-free 877-952-7870, if you agree with Michael Hossfeld and that players deserve to be handling billions of dollars, that the results and the fate is in their hands, because what this guy's saying is it already is, you know, right now. If you agree with Michael Hossfeld, give us a call. Now, Aaron, I want to hear from you.
Well, so just to recap, make sure I got this right. He's saying that players, college players,
right,
should have their hand in this billions of dollars, correct?
Exactly. He's saying, yeah. He says it's a more accurate context.
Yeah. No, I don't agree with him. Once you start giving – look, I think the NFL is a great example of giving too much people – I mean, maybe even the MLB, you know, maybe not so much hockey, basketball as well. But you give the NFL players these million-dollar contracts. They get so much money, and then you see what they do with the money. They go buy some expensive car and then crash it, and then, you know, they spend a, you know, $50,000 on a bill. They take their team out to eat. I mean, these guys have no clue how to handle money. I mean, you know, a lot of them do, but a lot of them don't. They have no clue what to do with $11 million. I mean, you start giving these college athletes who are still in college more money, I don't even want to know what would happen, because they wouldn't know what to do with it.
Sure, and of course, it's still determined how much money they'd get. But at the same time, would you be able to, Aaron, even if you weren't a college athlete, be able to know what you're going to spend with $12 million? I mean, I personally wouldn't either.
I would quit. I wouldn't even if they wouldn't get $12 million on a cut. But right. Let's hypothetically say they get a lot of money, a lot more money than you or I will earn in like 5 years or something. You know,
sure, yeah.
Why would I even continue what the heck I'm doing? You know, if I loved the sport enough, I would. But the problem is now you're giving money as an incentive to start to play a sport. So now you used to play the sport because you love it. A lot of people don't do that nowadays. They hope they get pro so they can get that money. They don't care about the sport. We've seen it numerous times, countless stories of, oh, well, he's not a team player, he's just in it for money. Well, that still happens today. But I mean, now you start adding money for college players, I mean, their incentive is for the money, not the love of the game. So, I mean, I don't, you know, if they get a cut, I mean, if you start giving them large amounts of cuts, and again, we would have no clue how much someone gets and who doesn't get, if you didn't play, if you did play, how much, you know, that kind of thing. Again, if you're giving college players a lot of money, their incentive is not to play for the sport, but to play for the money. And I think that's the wrong message to be sending.
Mm-hmm. And even if they are playing for the money, I mean, what do you think even a scholarship does? Because if you're getting paid to go to college, technically, no, he's not actually getting the money. It's going towards his tuition. But even in that sense, it's different than millions of dollars, but you're still getting, you know, a pretty big chunk of, you know, some advantage over what some guy that comes to a school that's a regular old Joe that's going to major in something else.
Yeah, I mean, I don't – yeah, it's all kind of I've lost my train of thought here. But, take it back to you because I lost my train of thought. It's got like 800 things going on in my head as to why this is wrong.
Yeah.
It just seems bad to give college students – lots of money. I mean, okay, now I got my thoughts back in my head. But, you know, you mentioned the scholarship thing. Well, say you get a full ride, scholarship, which, you know, only, you know, I forget the exact numbers, how many Michigan State gets and that kind of thing for each sport. But like you said, they don't directly get that money, but they're paying for their tuition. Guess what? Tuition's a lot of money. So, you know, if they're basically coming out of college debt-free in the sense of tuition is concerned. You and I both have loans that we're probably going to have to pay off. So, you know, technically we're in debt because of the loans. Thank you, government, for that. I don't know how you would pay someone that you would give a full scholarship or a half scholar, whatever the case may be. That just seems odd, and that just does not seem right.
For any of you listening, are there any Division II, Division III men or women out there that did play a sport that do kind of see the total picture? I don't know about you, Aaron. I want to get an athlete's perspective of it. So if you would so kindly, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870, if you would like to talk about your experience as an athlete and your argument why an athlete should be paid or not, feel free to call in. But we are going to get to MSU football recruiting, so if you have a call on that, feel free to do so. If you want to talk a little bit more about Earl, give your final remarks for him because he is definitely listening, give us a call. We also are giving away tickets to the Minnesota game on Wednesday, February 6th. Two pairs of tickets. Winners will be announced on Monday. So if you want to get in early, we've already got a couple calls. You definitely want to pick up the phone and dial our ticket giveaway number, 517-884-4783. Again, the number for Minnesota tickets on February 6th, 517-884-4783. The Spartans, we're going to switch over from that basketball to football now because signing day is very, very soon, Aaron, and the Michigan State Spartans have a good number of commits. They pretty much have a total picture of how many guys they're about to sign. We're counting them out right now. We've got about, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We got a lot of guys. I mean, Michigan State getting the number one kicker in the country this year. I mean, Michael Geiger out of Toledo, Ohio, with offers from a lot of different schools, choosing Michigan State. Now, this comes from the guy who is coming after Dan Conroy. Mr. Dan Conroy, who missed a field goal every game, almost every game, but made it when it counts. Now, how will Dan Conroy's legacy be remembered here? Are you going to remember him from all his countless misses and games that they went 6-6? Or are you going to remember the TCU bowl game that he knocked down the game winner then when everybody was biting their nails and twiddling their thumbs whether he'd make it or not? How is Dan Conroy's legacy going to be remembered? And does this present a new legacy for MSU kickers? Because besides Morton Anderson, the last kicker that has had a successful pro career, zip to none. But if you think otherwise, tell us about some kickers. 355-9527 or toll free, 877-9527-870. Again, talking about some Michigan State football recruits, along with Michael Geiger, the Michigan State Spartans were able to get a couple high-profile guys. John Reschke out of Brother Rice High School from Bloomfield, Michigan, the 6'2", 229 linebacker, runs a 4.640. Pretty high ranking, 4.640 linebacker, very hard to come by. He runs just as fast as some receivers, so I'm excited to see how he will fit in with the mold with some of the guys leaving, some of the guys staying. And another very big thing to note about recruiting, Michigan State signing not two, not one, but three. Three defensive tackles in this class. Now, out of the three defensive tackles that they did sign, they've got 6'1", 6'3", and then 6'6". Now, the 6'6 guy out of Toronto, Ontario, is 300 pounds. But he's had an injury. He's had a little bit of trouble. This is a guy that I think can come in here, James Benaitis, and mold himself into what many people would probably assume to be even better than Anthony Rashad White. Now, you got to stay from a biased perspective. If those of you listening have your perspectives on some of these guys coming in, which of these recruits are you most excited about? Is it Demetrius Cooper, the defensive end out of Chicago? Is it the quick Jay Harris out of Pennsylvania? Is it Damian Terry coming in next year to compete with Andrew Maxwell. 355-9527, toll free 877-9527-870. Besides the fact that they do have a good amount of in-state recruits, Michigan State also facing the toughness from the University of Michigan. And the reason being, the University of Michigan signing the number one running back in the country. The first time that's happened within the last decade. Michigan landing the Derrick Green hype out of Virginia. This guy with tremendous tape out of high school, looking to get some early playing time, beating out Fitzgerald Toussaint next year. We'll see if that comes in full circle, and we'll see if the MSU defense, even we'll see how the MSU defense will contain the number one ranked back out of this national recruiting class. Now, Michigan State, obviously starting to get some more out-of-state recruits, Aaron. I want to get your opinion, because obviously I know recruiting, you know, is a hard topic. You know, you've got to really know your stuff to know about it. But in terms of in-state versus out-of-state recruits, do you feel that Michigan State should be maybe slowly move towards out-of-state, you know, kind of get that University of Michigan out-of-state approach? Or do you think that, you know, they have better luck in-state?
You know, I don't know if they have better luck in state, but, you know, I think the Michigan football is sort of seen, as I've learned from Earl, it comes and goes. So, you know, some years it's great. You get a lot of decent recruits. Some years it's like, meh, you know, you get a couple great ones, but that's about it. You know, it doesn't hurt to recruit out of state. Unfortunately, you know, the football scene in the last handful of years has grown tremendously. So recruiting's been much more difficult in the sense of getting some big top, you know, star recruited players. But don't get me started on the, you know, rating system as far as stars are concerned. But, you know, but they, you know, the Big Ten isn't the top dog in the football, National Football League, or National Football League, a college league. So, you know, SEC's usually has a pretty good handle on that. But, you know, it just depends. Michigan's football scene is up and down sometimes for recruits. Although I do think Michigan State does a very good job of making sure they get some of the best in Michigan. But I also think they do a pretty decent job of getting, you know, a lot of the guys from the Midwest, you know, Ohio, Indiana, you know, those states. So, you know, I think, you know, it helps that they go out of state. Could they do better in that era? Yeah, but there's a lot of competition nowadays, and it's very, very difficult to even, you know, get some of the best ones, you know. But, you know, D'Antonio and his staff do a great job of getting the right people, and he's proven time and time again he doesn't need to get those five-star recruits.
Yeah, and you even said it yourself. The Big Ten Conference is not the top conference in football. Now, years ago, you could have debated that the Big Ten can compete with anyone, if not be the top contender, even better than the SEC. Now, nowadays, as Drew Sharp would say, quote, the Big Ten sucks. Yes, they do have their troubles, Drew. Hopefully, if you are listening, we will have Drew on within the next couple days. You can talk to him about the Pistons, a little bit of Michigan State, and even University of Michigan. But as Drew said, it's totally different now than it has been in the past. Even with the Big Ten, you know, it's also a different set because in the Big Ten nowadays, you see Ohio State, you see some of these teams, Michigan tried it out. A lot of these SEC teams have it too. You know, they're trying that spread offense. They're trying that some of that Rich Rod theory that unfortunately did not work out. And Michigan State, staying true to the pro style, staying true to Mark D'Antonio and what he represents, and it's worked out for them. I mean, as Jack Ebling wrote too, a heart of a Spartan. This is the glory days, you know, since, you know, back 20, 30 years ago that Michigan State football has been in its prime. When we get back from this short break, we're going to be talking about Detroit Pistons getting whooped on to the Milwaukee Bucks last night. We're talking some Detroit Red Wings. All that and more right here on Sports Talk AM 870.
On the next Fresh Air, William H. Macy. In the Showtime series Shameless, he plays an alcoholic father of six who each week stoops to new depths to scam and manipulate others.
We sit down, we read these scripts, and everybody's covering some part of his or her face going, "Oh my God, are you kidding?" Well, that's why it's called Shameless.
Join us.
And that was Talk of the Nation, coming up at 3 p.m. right here on AM 870.
Rain turning to snow today and then tonight, the low all the way down to the mid-teens. Blustery and mostly cloudy with a chance of snow overnight. Mostly cloudy Thursday, windy, a chance of snow, the high tomorrow 22. Mostly cloudy with scattered snow Friday, the high in the upper teens. I'm Scott Pohl.
Thank you, Scott, for that weather update. 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870 if you are just tuning in. And if you are around the mid-Michigan area, you know the legend of Earl Robinson. If you did miss it on Friday, Monday, Tuesday, Monday was his last show. But yesterday we have been recapping Earl's graduation, that he has left his legacy, his stronghold here in the MSU Lansing communities. It's amazing, as someone who is a young cat who has been shadowing Earl for quite a while, that knowing that this guy just did it right. And we want to hear from you if you've been impacted by Earl, his determination, you know, his sincerity with his voice. If you have been impacted by Earl Robinson, we are taking calls for the rest of the week and even within the last 18 minutes of this show. Again, 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. We're going to be moving on to Detroit Pistons basketball, getting whooped on by the Milwaukee Bucks the last night. One bright spot of this game was Andre Drummond. I mean, with the hype of his draft pick, the quote-unquote steal that we got him at, although he was projected to go a little bit higher, 18 points, 18 rebounds, a couple blocks here and there. A tremendous performance from Andre Drummond, obviously showcasing that he can be an NBA starter, that although Greg Monroe, Charlie V, with the money that he has right now, and even Jason Maxiell getting a little bit of push here and there, that Drummond wants it. He can show it on the court. He can, you know, guard the likes of Andrew Bogut, although, you know, coming back from his injury, he puts on performances here and there that are pretty hard to match up with. Now, another thing to note, Andre Drummond is 19 years old, and this stat coming out of the Detroit Free Press by Vince Ellis. Andre Drummond, at 19 years old, became the only teenager to have at least an 18-18 game since Dwight Howard. Now, Dwight Howard had 21-18, 21-20, 19-19, and that's at the age of 19. He had three games with 18 points, 18 boards or more throughout his career. And Andre Drummond, I mean, this statistic, Aaron, the fact that Andre Drummond can come in here at 19 years old, not start like Dwight Howard did, but come in here at 19 years old and put on a statistic that is very, very rare, is just astonishing. Now, obviously, there come some negatives with this game. And one negative that we'll start off with is Ronnie Stuckey. And if you're listening out there, we want to hear your opinion, the future of Ronnie Stuckey. What is the right move for Joe Dumars to make? He's already had a couple negative moves with the Darko pick, a couple other minor transactions. One could debate that giving Ben Gordon and Charlie Villanueva that contract, those contracts, was just a little bit too much. What is your opinion on the future of this Piston basketball team? Aaron, I want to hear from you first. What do you think is the right move for this team, especially with Stuckey being quiet, with Lawrence Frank? I mean, this topic always gets brought up because 3 games ago, the Pistons were hot moving into the playoffs. Rajon Rondo with the ACL injury, giving the Pistons even more of a chance. But one might even make the argument that, hey, we're not a playoff-ready team. Let's just lose all the games for the rest of the season and get another high draft pick like we've been able to steal Knight and Drummond. Your opinion on this team, Aaron?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I thought they were in the right direction. I mean, they still are, but they got a long way to go. We've talked about it before, and you know, They got a long way to go to get back to their championship days, you know, a handful of years ago. And it's the team in its current state, it's got some issues, as you've alluded to, but to think that they could be a playoff team is just, isn't that just weird to think about with the record? I think what, they're 17-25 or somewhere in there. I'm not sure exactly on the number. I guess it's probably irrelevant, really. But to think that they could actually, you know, make the playoffs with a record under 500 is kind of, what does that tell you about the NBA? But the team, I expect the team in a couple of years to be a playoff bound team. I guess not bound, but a legitimate playoff team that can compete for maybe a championship. But that's going to be a couple years. And when I say a couple, I'm talking 3, 4, maybe even 5 years. Because like you said, they're going to have to get some more recruits in there, higher draft picks, just better guys. Drummond's obviously 19, as you said. So he's got plenty of years left on him. What to do with Stuckey, I don't know. That's something they're going to have to think about. So they got some decisions to make, but I do feel that they are on the upswing, but they got a ways to go. So if you're a huge, huge Pistons fan, you're going to have some patience. But if you've ever been a Lions fan, you know all too well about patience.
And remember that the Pistons gave Stuckey a 3-year, $25 million extension last year. And this was, at the times where the Pistons were down, Aaron. The Pistons were not a team, that was just playoff ready. Now, you're talking Stuckey, and obviously with the extension, we don't know what's going to happen with Stuckey. Will he be traded this season? Will he be traded eventually? Will he sign somewhere else after next season? Will he still be a part of this team after getting that contract extension? 355-9527 or toll-free 877-9527-870. You're the GM, listeners. If you're Joe Dumars and you have the hands and the tools for Rodney Stuckey, what are you going to do? You're gonna put Brandon Knight out there, trade him away? You going to let go of a coach? Are you going to sit behind, you're going to sit on the bench and let him drain out his contract throughout the year to quote-unquote teach him a lesson? Because Lawrence Frank already benched him because of a coach's decision. And that even left a lot of people, guessing. Why? Why did you bench a guy that's trying to prove himself, not only for him and getting his contract money, but he's trying to prove himself, to even get on another NBA team if he doesn't make it here. And this is the Rodney Stuckey that had a lot of high hopes, a lot of potential. Now, if you are listening out there and you have the right path for Rodney Stuckey, feel free to give us a call. Now, moving on to Rodney Stuckey, let's talk about, we'll go into more of some past trades. Starting off with Allen Iverson, Chauncey Billups trade. That trade was probably the changing direction of the whole franchise. Some people may have thought that, hey, Chauncey proved himself. He was, quote-unquote, Mr. Big Shot. This was our leader. Why did we trade away our leader when we could have traded away Rip Hamilton a little bit earlier? We could have traded away a Tayshaun. We could have traded away a plethora of other guys on that roster. But you traded away your best player. Now, that had to do with the contract extensions that Chauncey wanted. He had some years left. Iverson only with 1 year. Joe Dumars wanted to constantly change up the team, maybe get some new fresh faces, build that new five, the evolving NBA life. So, before we move on to the Detroit Red Wings at 50, if you want to give us a call, 355-9527 or toll free, 877-9527-870. Again, if you're just tuning in, Earl Robinson has graduated from WKAR. I'm Alex Sharg. I'll be hosting with you throughout this week, and in future weeks, we'll have Jack Ebling, Jeremy Sampson, Scott Moore, just to name a few. So if you would like to comment on Earl Robinson, his legacy, his impact for you, we will be taking calls for the rest of the week, and we will also, like Earl always does, give away some basketball tickets. If you're just tuning in, we are giving away Minnesota tickets for Wednesday, February 6th. that game at the Breslin Center. If you would like to win a pair of tickets, you need to call the following number, 517-884-4783. Again, the number, if you would like to win some Minnesota tickets, the number, 517-884-4783. We'll be playing maybe a clip or two more throughout the week about Earl Robinson, what some of his colleagues had to say. But for now, let's see what the Red Wings had to say. And last night, the Red Wings shooting past the Stars, it was just incredible. 4-1 blowout. We saw the tenacity in Jordan Tootoo, the newly acquired grinder. We saw him drop his gloves 3 seconds within the game. We saw a lot, and we've seen from some of the beat writers throughout the area discuss some of the strengths, some of the weaknesses. But last night, this looked like a totally different team. Valtteri Filppula, 2 goals. Red Wings zooming past the Stars. But another thing to note is this is one thing that Valtteri had to say about Pavel Datsyuk. He said, quote, "Whenever Pavel has the puck, you can always expect it's going to come your way. I've obviously played with him for a while now, but still, every once in a while you get surprised," end quote. Now, just the way that some of these guys talk about Pavel, Aaron, this just sounds like the end-all, be-all. The magician. I mean, this guy just has magic whenever he has the puck come his way. Now, if you listening think that Pavel Datsyuk might be the messiah of hockey right now, if he might be the end-all, be-all of what you think, you know, the magician, the Gretzky, the I can create any play, you know, at the end of the game. If this is your guy, who is it if it's not Pavel Datsyuk? 517-355-9527. You could also call toll-free 877-952-7870. 8 minutes left in the show. Jimmy Howard last night with 25 saves. Dallas outshot, Detroit outshot Dallas only 27-26. So Jimmy Howard obviously being one of those three stars with 25 saves, but he let in 1 goal. I don't know, Aaron. Do you think that Dallas just really isn't that good this year? 27 shots and 4 goals. Detroit getting a 5-on-3 advantage in that game as well. Jordan Tootoo, showing off the tenacity he showed when he was on Nashville, showing that why he deserves to be here. What was it last game that granted the Red Wings a victory?
Yeah, I mean, Dallas, yeah, they're not that great this year. Granted, it's early in the season, shortened season anyway. Dallas is only 2-4, maybe 2-5 now. I'm not sure if the their win-loss column has been updated yet. But, I don't think Dallas is that great. Detroit's kind of coming into their own. I also expect some of these teams to kind of – that are currently at the top, maybe some of the – or the ones that are at the bottom to kind of come on up a little bit, just because it's early in the season. Obviously, it was a lockout halfway through the season, teams didn't have as long as a sort of where they get the practice before the season actually starts. I think it was just a case of Dallas just isn't that good. Detroit's got a lot of talented players. Obviously, Howard's kind of coming into his own for the season right now, so. I think they're kind of up on the upswing. I expect them to, make the playoffs for the 800th millionth time in a row. If they don't, then that might be one of the world's greatest sports stories ever.
No, absolutely. And even if they, do make the playoffs without Nicholas Lidstrom, if they do make the playoffs, with a whole changed roster, there's always talks of all the players that the Red Wings get. They get a lot of European crop. A lot of these guys are scouted to be late picks. Some of these guys not really highly scouted, but the Red Wings scout system, obviously, is just tremendous. Now, with the team this year with Lidstrom, we've seen it in the first game, the season opener, dropping 6 goals. They've obviously got a lot of things to work on. You don't have a Nicholas Lidstrom with an amazing plus-minus ratio anymore. That's going to give you some games. I don't know if you agree, Aaron, I think Nicholas Lidstrom single-handedly cannot determine the impact of a game.
Yeah, I mean, he could. I mean, I always kind of thought of it this way. He was so good that you take him off the ice, you've basically taken off 2 or 3 players off the ice. I mean, I mean, he's easily one of the best defensemen of all time. But when you take him off the ice, and now off the ice completely, he's no longer on the team. I mean, you've literally lost 2 to 3 players. and especially on defense, that's hard to fill. So obviously, as you alluded to, their first game wasn't so hot, letting go 6 goals. But they've kind of come around on the defensive side, and they've made some adjustments. And Babcock, he's going to continue to make sure that he's got the right pairing. On that, but it also depends who they're playing. Sometimes he's going to have to switch up the pairing on defense according to what the other team is going to be having on their first through fourth lines. So, it just depends, but yeah, that was a huge loss, and if they can make the playoffs without him, I think that's check that off the list of, yeah, that was a goal we accomplished this year, making the playoffs without Nicklas Lidström.
Yeah, and look, this is a Red Wing team with normally, year in and year out, they have a lot of veterans. Their average age, Ken Holland loves going into the free agent market year in and year out and just continuing on that structure of his team and making those Stanley Cup runs. Now, with the length of the season this year, it worries me how long these guys can last. Obviously, Lidström last year, getting up in age, but you still got some old guys on this team. So I'm a little worried. If you're listening, feel free to call in 355-9527 with 3 minutes left in the show. How will this veteran team fare with a game played every 2 or 3 days with the shortened NHL season? It just makes it a whole lot harder. And another thing that makes it so much harder are the Chicago Blackhawks. Best start in franchise history, years after winning the cup, Nick Leedy scoring 2:45 in overtime, just some momentous games so far for the Chicago Blackhawks, beating the Wings 2-1, that was a pretty big game. They've done their work, and obviously the Red Wings, with the way the division works this year, it's going to be pretty tricky, Aaron. Your thought, this doesn't look like a first place team. I'm not so sure. With even myself, Aaron, all my Chicago buddies back home, and even here in East Lansing, they rip on me all the time on how much better, Chicago is than Detroit. And this year, I may have to admit it, that Detroit for the first time is maybe not as talented as Chicago. It's one thing to say that Detroit is better, but, Detroit is known for having those talented guys. They're known for going out there and signing Luke Robitaille and Brett Hull in the same season. They're used to making those big salary drops, some of these players. So if you feel that the Red Wings are not as good as Chicago, feel free to give us a call, 355-9527. We've got 2 minutes left in the show. We'll get to one more caller. You're on Sports Talk 870. Who is this? Where are you calling from?
Are you talking to me?
I am talking to you. You're calling from where?
I used to talk to Earl. Earl's got a lot of class. And, he'll know me by Valenti. That's what I called in. I'm 81, and Earl don't have to worry about getting old because I'm getting older than he is.
Yeah.
And I stopped calling because them guys knew more about sports than I did. I just knew what I saw on the surface. But Earl and most of them sports guys, they were in the gym. They watched how these guys really look, how the athletes really are. What we see on a field when you're watching a football team,
right? Never missed a beat.
You might only see a flash of somebody and you think he's great, but they know behind the scenes in practice and everything else. Like Earl used to say in boxing, when he used to go to the gym, when he saw a guy really work hard, that he's right, sweating, he knows he's going to be good. Not somebody that's just playing around on doing mild exercise.
Absolutely. Hey, I appreciate your call. Okay. I know that Earl's listening out there. Any last words before you go, real quick, 15, 10 seconds. All right, I appreciate your call. If you were listening out there, we'll be back tomorrow. You've been listening to radio station WKAR East Lansing. We come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock on AM 870. Unfortunately, we ran out of time, so if the caller would call back tomorrow, talk a little bit about Earl from 1 to 2, we'd love it. And we'd love for you, all the new listeners, tell your friends, everybody around, as Earl would always say. Have yourself a safe and pleasant evening. And I'll hear from you tomorrow, right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.